started to whir down. The knife blade felt cool hidden beneath my thigh. I picked out a spot on his chest, just below his ribs. But first I had to find out what I needed to know. His other hand came swiftly into view and popped something fist-sized in through the open gap of the still-lowering window. Hitting my lap, it was surprisingly heavy. I looked down. A hand grenade. I choked on my breath. I reached to grab it. Before my splayed fingers could get there, it detonated. Chapter 1, 10 days earlier. In my boxers, I stepped out onto the cold flagstones of my porch to retrieve the morning paper, which had landed inevitably in the puddle by the broken sprinkler. The apartments across the street, Bel Air in zip code only, reflected the gray clouds in their windows and sliding glass doors, mirroring my mood. L.A.'s winter had made a late entrance, as always, slow to rise, shake off its hangover and put on its face. But it had arrived, tamping the mercury down to the high 40s and glazing the least luxury sedans with dew. I fished out the dripping paper, mercifully enclosed in plastic, and retreated back inside. Sinking again into the family room couch, I freed the Times and pulled out the entertainment section. As I unfolded it, a DVD in a clear case fell out, dropping into my lap. I stared down at it for a moment, turned it over. A blank, unmarked disc, the kind you buy in bulk to record onto. Bizarre. Even a touch ominous. I got up, knelt on the throw rug, and slipped the disc into the DVD player. Clicking off the surround sound so as not to wake Ariana, I sat on the floor and stared at the plasma screen, rashly purchased when our bank account was still on a northerly heading. A few visual hiccups jerked the image, followed by a placid close-up shot of a window framed by plantation shutters, not quite closed. Through the window, I could see a brushed nickel towel rack and a rectangular pedestal sink. At the edge of the frame was an exterior wall, Cape Cod blue. The view took only a second to register. It was as familiar as my reflection, but given the context, oddly foreign. It was our downstairs bathroom, seen from outside, through the window. A faint pulse came to life in the pit of my stomach. Apprehension. The footage was grainy, looked like digital. The depth of field didn't show compression, so probably not a zoom. My guess was it had been taken a few feet back from the pane, just far enough not to pick up a reflection. The shot was static, maybe from a tripod. No audio, nothing but perfect silence razoring its way under the skin at the back of my neck. I was transfixed. Through the window and the half-open bathroom door, a slice of hall was visible. A few seconds passed in a near freeze frame. Then the door swung in. Me. I entered, visible from neck to knee, the shutters chopping me into slices. In my blue and white striped boxers, I stepped to the toilet and took a leak, my back barely in view. A light bruise came into focus, high on my shoulder blade. I washed my hands at the sink, then brushed my teeth. I exited. The screen went black. Watching myself, I'd bitten down on the inside of my cheek. Stupidly, I glanced down to determine what pair of boxers I had on today. Plaid flannel. I thought about that bruise. I'd banged my back standing up into an open cabinet door just last week. I was trying to recall which day I'd done it when I heard Ariana clanking around in the kitchen behind me, starting breakfast. Sound carries easily through the wide doorways of our 50s open-plan two-story. The DVD's placement, tucked into the entertainment section, struck me as deliberate and pointed. I clicked play, watched again. A prank? But it wasn't funny. It wasn't much of anything, except unsettling. Still gnawing my cheek, I got up and trudged upstairs, past my office with